Hello every pony and welcome back to another Pony and Wolf Productions video. My name once again is Virtual Pony, and here is a list of those amazing people who keeps this channel alive with their monthly donations. And today we are reading the story Alicia by the author Föhn or Föhn. I don't exactly know how to pronounce this, but you will see his name on screen, and it is of course, as always, in the name of this video. So, without further ado, I will also remind you that there's a big button under this video, and if it is still red, that means you have not yet subscribed to Pony and Wolf Productions. And that means you will not be notified about our newest releases! What are you doing? Come on, newest releases! New videos every day! Okay, now let's get into the meat of the story, because I know, for a fact, that I am really annoying you right now.
Memories, images, once they are fixed in words, are erased, Polo said. Perhaps I am afraid of losing Venice all at once, if I speak of it. Or perhaps, speaking of other cities, I have lost it little by little. Italo Calvino, Invisible Cities. If you were to ask a pony to tell you of the center of Equestria, its heart, they would speak to you of Canterlot, the mountain city and the seat of the sun on high. They would be wrong. Far to the south of Canterlot, beyond the Everfree and the Badlands, in the true center of the Equestrian continent, there lies a forest. On occasion, a passing traveler may tell tales of an ancient city deep within its depths, lost to the passages of nature and time. In this, the forest is hardly unique. Ponies speak of many such cities. Only in the heart of winter, when the nights are long and high above in their cities of clouds the air turns breath to frost, do the Pegasi speak of Saren, the midnight city. The ponies of Saren worshipped the gods of ice and the long dark, and the gods of the endless sky, and so in their image was the city of Saren built. Above the great plains, above mountains and clouds, the ponies spun domes and towers from the very air itself. Out of wind and sod, they wrought casements and archways of nothing that would look out upon the sky and claim it as their own. Under the harsh light of day, the stories say, Saren was all but invisible. But at night, bathed in the gentle glow of the moon and lit by a thousand splendid stars, Saren shone. So too do the Pegasi speak of the ponies of Saren who would shape themselves in the sky's image, their likeness growing ever closer to that of their city of the air. And when storms passed through the distant streets of Saren, and solid walls gave way to vaulted ceilings lit by the sky in all its fury, the ponies of Saren could be seen dancing on gales and leaping from thunderbolts, air and pony all the same. Thus was the city of Saren, a monument to the everlasting sky and its people. Until one day, the wind changed. Only during those twilight days between summer and fall, between beginnings and endings, do the unicorns speak of Arcadia, the city of mirrors. To speak of Arcadia, one must speak of the thousand towers that comprised the city, each and every one unique in its splendor. So flawless were their surfaces, it is said, so peerless their craftsmanship, that each towering wall and vaulted balustrade formed a mirror that reflected the true essence and beauty of all before it. But there was another Arcadia, and it was seen in every silvered wall, every pool of still water. And where all the lines of the real Arcadia were smooth and curved, the lines of the Mirror Arcadia were straight and harsh and cruel. In the highest spires of Arcadia, the unicorns claim, lived gods of great beauty and power. In their name, the ponies of Arcadia bent the sky itself to cover the city and rejoiced in the majesty of the heavens surrounding them. This, they proclaimed, was their great legacy.
Fear us!
They said,
we can bend the heavens to our will.
But there came a day when the ponies of Arcadia could no longer distinguish their city from its reflection and found their highest spires abandoned. It is with the greatest solemnity that the Earth ponies speak of Sophia, City of Memory. They do not speak of a time before Sophia, for to do so would belie the truth of Sophia's existence. The oldest of things are all of Sophia, and time before them has no meaning. Like an old tome, the legends of the city itself are worn and weathered. But among the chapters of history, some pages have yet to fade. Murmurs of how those who dwelt in Sophia valued the subtle texture of the shadows, and how true beauty was found only in the most filtered of light. Fragmented tales of great buildings, vast and heavy in stature, whose shadowed alcoves housed Sophia's greatest treasure. Those that had long ago lost their luster and taken on the smoky gray patina of age. Whispers of how, in those hallowed halls, even the most crude and unrefined of the world's treasures shone like the crystallized air of the ages. In Sophia, the Earth ponies claim, lived not gods, but the eldest and wisest of ponies, who would accept only the most ancient of things into their city. Thus, Sophia came to dwarf all else in age, until it too began to fade into the recesses of memory. In time, ponies will speak of Sophia no more, and in this final obscurity the city will be complete. None speak of the city of Aletheia. They do not tell tales of its magic wrought wonders, buildings of thought and wind that could appear and vanish at one's beck and call. They do not speak of the majesty of its thousand splendid towers in which all things past and all things yet to come could be seen. They do not mention the city's great age or the wisdom of its people who were looked upon by lesser beings and called gods. Of the tragedy of its fall, or the great sorrow of its passing, there is no mention. Aletheia is the greatest city, is forgotten. In the heart of the equestrian wilderness, there is a vast forest. Those few who on occasion wander past speak of great towers glimpsed within its depth. None venture closer. They know not of the city that waits there, in the long shadows of obscurity, until the time comes that its denizens will again walk its path, and how they too, in time, shall be remembered.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to Comment Time with Zozro Pony, where I remind you that you can support Pony Wolf Productions through links down in the description below. Every dollar helps us need and very much appreciated, and helps to keep the lights on around here, and to keep, you know, paying my bills, rent, and everything. And also helps to keep me eating, because, you know, food is something that I really, really need to survive, because, you know, no one has yet found a way to not eat and still live. So, I would very much appreciate it if you at least thought about donating. Okay, now let's get into the meat of the story, because I don't think I can keep speaking this long, this fast for much longer. Bleh. Anyhow, what do I think about this story? I find it interesting, because certainly, we know that before Equestria was there, there were other factions, like the Earth Ponies, Pegasi, and Unicorns. They were all divided, so it stands to reason that there would be forgotten cities. Especially not just in Equestria itself, because as we know, Equestria is not where all of this, you know, took place. Where the Pony tribes originally lived. In my opinion, that is something that a lot of the stories actually get wrong. A lot of the fan fictions, you know, if you look at stuff like Upheaval Breaking Point, Upheaval Reckoning and all that, in those stories, everything that happened prior to Hearthwarming Eve, or the Hearthwarming Tale, you know, everything happened in Equestria in those stories. But that's not true. If you look at the Hearthwarming episode, then you see that the ponies actually lived somewhere completely differently and then traveled somewhere else and found the land that would eventually become Equestria. Which means there is, canonically, a land where the ponies originated and
that is potentially filled with all kinds of ancient ruins. Have you ever given that some thought? Personally, I now have, and I think that this is an amazing setting for fanfictions. Just imagine Twilight with her little archaeological head finding this original home of ponies. That's food for thought, and I might actually write something like that. Sincerely yours, Visual Pony, and I hope, as always, that this story finds you well in body and mind.